in July, Governor Walker announced his decision to expand Medicaid through administrative process, and the Department of Health and Social Services started accepting applications on September 1st.
And who is eligible?
We are talking about Alaskans between the ages of 19 to 64 years old who are eligible for Medicaid expansion. And this is a new type of Medicaid coverage or coverage category that we've added. These Alaskans are earning up to about 138% of the federal poverty level. For single adults, that's you're earning just shy of $1,700 per month. In the world of Medicaid, everything's based on monthly income. And then for a two-person family, they're earning just shy of $2,300 per month.
I'm assuming this is quite a few people.
Yes, it is. Based on a report from Evergreen Economics, we anticipate about 42,000 Alaskans are eligible for Medicaid under expansion. But based on how people apply and take-up rates and lag rates, we anticipate that just shy of 21,000 Alaskans will enroll in the first year.
And there is an enrollment deadline looming, correct?
That's actually one of the confusing parts is we're in the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, but we accept applications for the Medicaid program and the Denali Kid Care program year-round.
And Andrea, are you running into this locally?
Yes. Open enrollment goes all the way till January 31st. And again, Medicaid enrollment is year-round. And people don't fully understand that. There's quite a few people that have in the past put in applications that fit in that 19 to 64-year-old category. And they figured they did it in the past. They got told that they didn't qualify, and they haven't tried again. So I'm really encouraging people to... September 1st is a whole new world. And if you were denied in the past and you fit the income eligibility, to apply again, because actually quite a few people that I've been helping have gotten their cards, and they're thrilled to finally getting insurance for the first time.
Monique, why do you suppose that only half the people eligible for Medicaid are going to be applying this year? Is the word just not getting out, or are people reluctant to accept government help? Or
I think more it's just sort of how people typically sign up for new government programs. There's sort of a lack of understanding about how people that are eligible for this program might actually really be eligible, and then figuring out where to apply. And I think that's why our partnership with the navigators and certified application counselors around the state is so important, is we need help to spread the word. But this is sort of a typical process when a new program comes online. It just takes a little while for people to find out about them and how to apply, and if they even want to apply for the program.
All right. And where do they apply? Do they have to find the Andrea Thomas in their community? How do you do it?
There's a couple different options. Folks like Andrea are a great option if you're looking for some in-person assistance and maybe you're a little bit confused about your situation and maybe you're not super comfortable entering everything on a computer yourself and having a little moral support in the form of a navigator or CAC who does this every day is really helpful. People can also go online to healthcare.gov. It's sort of a no wrong door when it comes to applying for various healthcare coverage. So if you enter information and it looks like you're eligible for Medicaid, the healthcare.gov system will attempt to make a determination. So you might find out right then and there that you've been determined eligible. If there's more information we need to clarify, it will be sent to the state of Alaska for additional processing. But the no wrong door of healthcare.gov is great because people can let the computer system do all the work and determine if they're eligible for Medicaid or for a subsidized health plan on healthcare.gov. We also have the ARES self-service portal, which is used with your My Alaska account. If you apply online for your PFD, that's the same place you use it. And, of course, we have our paper application still available for applying for Medicaid.
Right, and I see this all the time in that I've had people last year that this healthcare wasn't even an option for them because they fell below the income level to be assisted, and which seems kind of crazy, and people left my office in tears. So this is the first year when people are coming in. I help them apply on the health insurance marketplace, and they get very often an immediate determination saying you have Medicaid or you may have Medicaid. Wait to hear from Division of Public Assistance and see what else they need and more information they need to have. I think the it's still very unknown to a lot of people. They figured that they tried last year, and they pretty much gave up. Things have really changed, and that, you know, if they fall below in that income level, they now have a chance to get really great insurance.
What happens if, and I'll ask Andrea this, and then Monique, if you have something else to add to it. But and I'm thinking of people in our region in Southeast Alaska who they probably would have been Medicaid eligible last year. Some of them probably went ahead and might have bit the bullet and gotten health care through the regular ACA marketplace or the exchanges. How do you go backwards, in, or if that's even the right term, how do you go into Medicaid if you already have a policy under ACA?
So every year when you when you're in the marketplace, every year you have to go in and renew. And when people renew is when they will be assessed again and determined eligible for Medicaid. So you put all your information in into the health insurance marketplace, and then they chug out this eligibility results, and that's where it lets you know, okay, you're eligible for Medicaid. So it's not really a choice either. It all depends on your income, age, and family size. So if you were on the marketplace last year, this year you might be eligible for Medicaid. And so you just need to go back in and re-enroll.
Is it really that simple, Monique?
Care.gov in the first year of the Affordable Care Act was a little rough. I think everyone remembers that. And I think it's working much more, it's much more convenient for the user that's sitting at home, you know, typing in their information. I think it's working much better. I think what I would add to that as well is that based on a report from Evergreen Economics, we anticipate about 55%, about 23,000 of the expansion population fell below 100% of the federal poverty level. So to put that in real dollars, if you were a single Alaskan earning less than $14,720 this year, you, prior to Medicaid expansion, prior to September 1st, you didn't qualify for Medicaid because we didn't have expansion yet, and you made too little to actually receive a subsidy on healthcare.gov. So you could buy a healthcare policy, but you actually had to pay the full entire premium yourself. It's sort of a whole new day in Alaska as of September 1st for that population especially.
To get an idea about who are people that fit into this category, it could be students. I've had a lot of self-employed people, people that fish. They've had some rough years, last couple of years. And so it's a much different population than maybe you would assume.
Do I have to bring a big pile of papers to the desk when I open up healthcare.gov? What information should I have sitting there in order to make the process go smoothly?
Well, what you want to have ready is that you want to have your idea. You want to have your information about what you're going to make in 2016. For some people, that's really straightforward. They have a set job. They have their last pay stub. They have their husband's Social Security benefits. It's very really cut and dry. Then you have people that are self-employed and fish. And so I often tell them to bring their taxes, their tax forms from last year, and just see, well, what do they think they're going to make the next year? How are things going? So you really need to have your income figured out. And then your Social Security numbers, birth dates for anybody in your family who needs health insurance. And then also if you are not a U.S. citizen, but you're a naturalized citizen, you need to have your identification, like a green card or a certificate of citizenship, those kind of pieces of documents that we have to input into the system. Now, you can get health insurance on the marketplace as long as you are a naturalized or legal citizen.
And what happens if you are a fisherman, you had a bad year, you assume 2016 is going to be bad, you apply for and you accept coverage under Medicaid, and, prices go up, you have a great year, suddenly you work yourself out of the Medicaid criteria. What happens then?
That's a great question, and that does happen. So what I always tell people is that when you know your income is going to change, you go in and make the change in the health insurance marketplace. If you have Medicaid, you need to report that change to Medicaid within 10 days. If you lose Medicaid, that gives you the opportunity, a special enrollment, to get back on the health insurance marketplace. So If one door shuts, another opens.
Would you describe this process as intuitive on the website?
No. In fact, I mean, it's so much better. And to me, it seems pretty straightforward. But I'll have to tell you, I was in a community just last week doing a presentation and literally was there for 2 hours with questions. And these were college educated people. They were like, I've got a master's degree. And why is this so tricky? And because, frankly, insurance is tricky. And so I really encourage people to ask questions. There's navigators all around the state, and to use the resources to get their questions answered, because it is tricky. And the more they learn, the more they can share with their friends.
When we started this new program, we're seeing a kind of bump in applications as people have been watching this process and needing health care coverage and applying. And we have definitely seen a big increase in the number of applications coming through the door to the Division of Public Assistance. And as that flattens out, we sort of anticipate kind of this bump will continue through the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act as more people find out about this option just when they go in to see folks like Andrea or a CAC or navigator in their community. They might find out that they're eligible for this program and never knew it existed. So we kind of anticipate this more applications coming through the door through the end of January, and then see it just kind of slow down as we really get those Alaskans enrolled that need the coverage.
Alaska wasn't too late to take advantage of federal funding for that.
Exactly. So for Medicaid expansion, the first 3 years, which unfortunately is a hard 3 years, so starting on January 1, 2014, through the end of the year 2016, 100% of the health care costs for the expansion population are covered by the federal government. So unfortunately, we lost out on the first year and 8 months of that 100% federal match for Alaskans to get health care coverage. But we will have that through the end of 2016. And then in 2017, 95% of the health care costs are covered by the federal government. And it transitions to 90% by the year 2020, and that's sort of the reimbursement level that it will remain for the expansion population as long as the program exists in Alaska.
Okay, so there isn't a risk that someone will jump through all the hoops to enroll in this and stay current, and then the legislature would somehow pull the rug out from underneath the funding.
I think that would be a question for the legislature, but at this time for the department, we received direction from the governor to begin accepting applications for Medicaid expansion on September 1st. And right now, with that direction from the governor, we are going forth and making sure Alaskans have that health care coverage available to them based on the direction from the governor.
Okay. While we're talking about legislatures, and maybe we could bump that up to Congress, are there any more Medicaid reforms coming at us that people should be aware of?
Absolutely. So the department, with some funding from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, awarded a contract to a local Alaska firm, Agnew Beck. They're based here in Anchorage, where I'm at. And they subcontracted with two national firms, Health Management Associates, for some national policy expertise, and Milliman, which is an actuary firm. And we've been working with key partners and stakeholders across the state since July on this contract. And the report is underway right now. The actuarial analysis has kind of kicked into high gear. There's some webinars posted if you want to catch up on the reform efforts that are underway at dhss.alaska.gov/healthyalaska. And you can catch up on our webinars. There's three of them posted on the website. That report is actually, the final report is due to the department on January 15th. And at that point, we will release it to the public for folks to see what sort of reform efforts have been suggested as part of this contract.
Suppose there's a listener out there who just hasn't got insurance yet. Maybe they lost a job that had benefits, and they're just out there kind of in limbo, and they're not sure whether they're Medicaid eligible or not. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but they've heard that there's an ACA enrollment deadline. I'm thinking that even though Medicaid doesn't have a deadline, someone out there who isn't insured right now should probably go ahead and just find out more sooner rather than later.
That's right. So I really encourage people to call either the health insurance marketplace. That's a 24/7 line. So if people are at 4 a.m. in the morning worried about they don't have insurance, they could call the 1-800-318-2596 number at any time and really actually go through the whole process of getting insured over the phone. And that's very simple. And then people go on www.healthcare.gov, and I think people that are really comfortable with computers and navigating through that get through it pretty well because it is really working very well compared to the first year. So it's great. And then, but there's still a lot of questions. And so I really encourage people to, even if they're going through that process, to be able to reach out to a navigator or a search outreach and enrollment who serves the whole of Southeast. And actually there's another navigator in Juneau and Jammie. And also in Wrangell at the clinic there. So there are some other possibilities for people in this region. In addition, there's also, we have two navigator organizations in Alaska. One is United Way, and there can be reached at 211. And one is, Alaska Primary Care Association, and they have a great website called Get Covered Alaska, and people can get all kinds of information there. So I really encourage people to reach out and ask questions, either call Search Outreach or any one of the navigator groups, 211, healthcare.gov. And I think people, once they enroll, think that they're done and that that's all they have to pay attention to. But there's quite a few things to pay attention to. One is I really encourage people to call the insurance company within 10 days after you enroll. And the reason why is because the marketplace sends a file to the insurance company. The insurance company has to put you in their system. And then things start rolling from there. But I've seen things like the file didn't get to the insurance company. So that's why I really encourage people to be proactive. Call the insurance company. Make sure you're in the system. Pay for your first premium. You know, these insurance, think about insurance premiums, what you have to pay every month, as more like rent. You just know you have to pay them. Because if you miss a payment, you could lose your insurance. So I really encourage people to go on the insurance's website, set up a username and password, set up an automatic billing system, you know, so that they can pay their bills on time. They don't have to worry about whether or not they pay their $32 insurance bill or not, because I've seen people lose their insurance from missing a payment that could be as low as $5, and it's pretty rough. And I think people need to open their mail and make sure they're getting mail, because if they're not getting mail, then something is wrong with their address in the system. And open your mail, because one of the issues is that sometimes people need to send in more information, like income verification or identity. And the best way to do that is upload it in the system. People have mailed it. If for some reason that doesn't get to the insurance marketplace, people could lose their insurance. They call it, they don't have the data matching. So it's very important for people to open their mail, make sure that marketplace has everything they need, and those letters can be confusing because it's insurance. And so it can be confusing. And that's, again, I encourage people to reach out to Search Outreach or other navigators to help them figure out what these letters mean. So that's another common issue, is that people are told to send some things in and they end up losing their coverage because they never sent it in. Other issues are during tax time, they match up the income that you put on your application with the income on your taxes. And so if your income is higher than what you put on your application, you're going to owe money. And now half the people that had insurance marketplace owed money. And that largely has to do with not going in and modifying their income as the days go on and jobs change. And so it's very, very important to not just go in at the very beginning to do your income, but anytime changes happen, to go in and update your application. And you can do that online. You can do it by calling and just doing it all over the phone, which is very easy for people. You can call a navigator or our organization. So that's It's very important. Anytime your address changes, your income changes, you have a baby, all these are things to call in.
It sounds like a lot of trouble, but in reality, it's a lot less trouble than dealing with uninsured medical expenses for something very major.
Alaska's healthcare costs are about the highest in the nation. And so if you have an injury, a serious injury, it's going to be incredibly expensive. And so we really encourage people to get insured. And the majority of people that go on the health insurance marketplace get assistance. And that kind of assistance is called a premium tax credit, which depending on your age, income, and family size, the program decides how much they're going to assist you with paying your monthly premium. It's called a premium tax credit. So you can have, I've seen premiums as low as $1. And then I've seen them up, you know, depending on your income, of course, I've seen some people $400 or more, right? So it all depends on your income. But the majority of people that go on the marketplace can find assistance. And there are some people that, again, that are over income that have to pay the full amount. And that's very rough to have to pay the full amount because it is very expensive. And there are people who fit into the category of, I see this especially among successfully self-employed people that are making above the income and would have to pay the full amount. And they find themselves that they would have to pay 19, 20, 30% of their income for insurance. Well, you can actually get an affordability exemption from getting insurance, because if you have to pay more than 8.05% of your income for insurance, you can get an exemption so you don't have to pay the tax penalty. But that leaves people in a position of, well, what are they going to do for insurance? So that is an issue, and it is a problem, and it's very difficult for people to make that choice whether or not they're going to be able to, you know, pay for insurance.
If I could add, I think this healthcare stuff can be really confusing, you know, and we start talking about subsidies and premium tax credits and shared responsibility payments and some of these terminologies. And then, you know, if you read in the newspaper about the rising healthcare premium costs on healthcare.gov, you know, I think it can be a little intimidating to a lot of folks in across the state. And finding someone like Andrea or the other outreach workers in Southeast or across the state or calling, I think that's the best thing that I can recommend people is that, you know, call someone, whatever it might be, sort of your comfort level, if it's going in to see someone at your local clinic or calling 211 here in Alaska or calling the toll-free number for healthcare.gov, find that sort of way of reaching out to someone that you're comfortable talking to so you can kind of relay the specifics of your situation. And I think that's where you can get some really good advice from folks and what to do. And though we accept applications for Medicaid and Denali KidCare year-round, this is kind of the time for Affordable Care Act insurance. And, you know, those subsidies sort of rose with the rising health premiums in Alaska. So it can be very intimidating for folks, and I would just encourage them to reach out to whoever you might be most comfortable with to get that information you really need to make the best decision for your circumstance.
And I want to add to that, people are really confused by the information they get in the mail saying, oh, their insurance cost is going to go up, and they don't realize that also the subsidy goes up. So some people are just giving up saying, gosh, it's going to cost too much. And I say, go on. It's, you know, when the cost goes up, so does the assistance. And so I really want to encourage people to re-enroll, and their subsidy will increase as the costs go up. And the majority of people have been very happy with the assistance that they got and the insurance that they've received and the care that they've finally been able to receive. By far, the majority have really positive experiences. But if you happen to be somebody who there's issues, that's when we're here for people so we can help them navigate that process.
Monique, one last thing for you. Has the commissioner's office been tracking some of the people who are falling out of the system? I mean, is there an effort to kind of corral people back who might be leaving the ACA insurance programs for sort of the wrong reasons?
One of the things that we're doing is trying to help spread the word about healthcare.gov, because it's kind of, it really is that no wrong door for access to healthcare coverage. So whether someone qualifies for Medicaid now with expansion, or they're right on the verge and maybe they qualify for a subsidized plan, that's really sort of our number one recommendation to Alaskans, is because you don't have to go through two different processes. If you thought you were eligible for just Medicaid and you applied via our portal, only to find out you're maybe over income, so you have to go to healthcare.gov anyway, we're really encouraging folks to go that route. And, you know, the word is out there, definitely. As of November 30th, 6,448 Alaskans had been determined for Medicaid under expansion. So the word is out there for sure that this is a new coverage available to the people that live in Alaska.
And if you are Medicaid eligible, it doesn't cost you anything, does it?
There are some co-pays that you might have to pay, depending on what service you access. But that would be, you know, your provider could help you sort of navigate and understand what those co-pays might be.
The people I've assisted on the health insurance marketplace, and they've been found to be eligible for Medicaid, often get their cards much sooner than people who have applied by paper months ago. So the healthcare.gov really is the fastest, best way to apply for both kind of coverage, people.
For those who have applied for Medicaid and they're waiting to hear on their application, if you're hung up and you're waiting, we do have some sort of emergent need where you can call a toll-free number and get your application sort of some expedited processing, especially for pregnant women or those that are maybe facing a medical emergency. Perhaps they have to travel into Anchorage for a medical procedure, or they have some very very urgent prescriptions they need, that type of thing. I would encourage them to visit the dhss.alaska.gov. And if you go to the Division of Public Assistance, you'll see that right on their homepage about where to call if you need expedited processing based on your situation.
Right, and you can call any public assistance office in our region, and they will be able to help you with that. And I've seen quite a few people get the assistance quickly when they need it.
Well, we've been talking with Monique Martin. She's a healthcare policy advisor in the commissioner's office for the Commissioner of Health and Social Services here in Alaska. And Andrea Thomas, she's the outreach and enrollment manager at Search here in Sitka. It's been informative. I hope people utilize the information you've shared here today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.